visiting with us here at Coyle this morning. We're glad you're here. And we would invite visitors and members alike, as we do every week, to fill out one of those yellow cards that you find on the pew there, and we can have a record of your attendance this morning. And there's a place for information for you to check. If you have information you would like to give us or to ask us, please check that spot, and you can leave that on the pew or stick it in the offering basket when it comes by later in the morning. For those who may be wondering, there is no attended nursery this morning or Tuesday Bible Hour or mini worship, and so we've got extra kids in here this morning, which is great to have, a lot of extra life in the room this morning. We also did not have an early service this morning. Those folks are with us as well who normally attend at 8:15. We're all here together this morning, and it is a wonderful morning to be together. It's no secret. A lot of you are here visiting this morning. I saw Buzz and Barb Casey and some others you haven't seen for a long time who are here because this is a special day for this family and Ronnie and Marcia's last. And those first two songs I know are a couple that are favorites of theirs and wanted to sing those. But we have the normal routine of things that we have to attend to as well this morning. And so let's do as we do every week and look down at this green sheet that you should have. At all those who need our prayers. Normally on Sunday mornings, we have a small group of prayer warriors who are back in the chapel during this period. They're not back there either this morning. They're in here. If you have a need during the course of this service for prayer, if you want to pray with someone, you can always come down and get one of us. We'll be glad to find an elder. If you have a need this morning, I hope that you'll make it known anytime during the service to someone around you or come down front afterwards. There'll be plenty of people down here that be glad to talk with you about whatever need you might have. But there are a lot of needs on here under the hospital list. There are those that want to continue to remember. April, I understand, is out of the hospital, and they're working on controlling the diabetes problems there. And then down at the very bottom of the continue to remember list, Rory Rosenbaum's mother, who's had cancer and is not doing well, is in the hospital now in Illinois with pneumonia. And so we want to continue to remember the Rosenbaum family and at this time. And we extend our sympathy, of course, to Chet Butler and to former member Cindy Avance, the death of her mom and his grandmother this time. So let's bow together, and if you'll look over that list and think about those who you know need a special touch from the Lord this morning, if you would pray for them in silence for just a moment, and then I'll close our time in prayer together. Father, thank you for your care for us and your love as revealed through the sacrifice of your Son. And thank you for the healing that you have granted to many in this room and to those we love. And we acknowledge in all that we do your love for us and your care for us. And Father, there continue to be day after day and week after week those whose bodies are not healing, who remain in pain, and we ask your healing, your comfort, your presence for each of those. Each of these names listed here and others that are not here that are known to us. We thank you, first of all, for what you will do for them. And we beseech you on their behalf. We pray that you would bring healing where needed, not only to the physical bodies, but to the emotion and to the soul. And we trust you with our very lives, and we give you thanks for what you will do through the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to take just a moment to stand, and if there's someone you see that you want to say hello to and give those who are still coming in a chance to find a seat, let's stand, and you might move to the inside of a pew. We've got a little bit bigger crowd than usual, so if you can move in, if there's an empty space in the middle, stand up and greet one another, and then we'll sing. standing. You know those first two songs that we sang? By the way, if your legs give out on you, just feel free to have a seat anytime. Mine may do that this morning. Those first two songs we sang were about heaven. And, you know, when his disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, and he taught them the prayer that probably all of us have memorized, he said, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And if we look over to the book of Revelation, where John reveals to us a little bit about what heaven is about, what we find out happening up in heaven, a lot of it is the worship of the saints, the worship of the elders, casting their crowns before the Lord and singing holy, holy, holy and shouting. So in order for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, we understand what's going on in heaven is the worship of God. And so we enter in now to a time of worship. So let's cast ourselves before the throne of God as we sing together and worship him in song.
Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from the heavens praise his name. Praise Jehovah in the highest, all his angels praise, proclaim. All his hosts together praise him, sun and moon and stars on high. Praise him, all ye heavens, and ye floods above the sky. Praises give Jehovah, for his name alone is high. And his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted far above the earth and sky. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Glory fill the earth. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory fill the earth. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory fill the earth. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory fill.
Lord, I love to sing your praises.
Lord, I love to sing.
to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave.
We love you, Jesus, for the sacrifice that you gave of your life on the cross. And as we commune together now in the taking of this bread, we thank you for it. Father, we ask your blessing on it as you blessed it in the upper room when Jesus broke it and gave it to us. We pray in his name.
Our Heavenly Father, we've come together as your children to worship you, praise you, and adore you. And Heavenly Father, as part of our worship to you, we partake of this bread and this fruit of the vine in remembrance of the sacrifice that has been made so our sins is forgiven. Help us, Heavenly Father, as we partake of this fruit of the vine, to have a better understanding of the sacrifice that was made for us, and also to have the feeling of celebration that our sins have been forgiven. In Christ's name, amen. Please pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we continue our worship to you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for forgiveness of our sins. And Heavenly Father, we also thank you for our many material blessings. We realize, Heavenly Father, we live in a nation which is really blessed materially, especially when we think of other parts of the world like Honduras. We realize how blessed we are. Heavenly Father, at this time, as we return a portion of our material blessings to you, we pray that we will do so with thanksgiving, thanking you for forgiveness of our sins and thanking you for our many, many blessings. In Christ's name, amen.
For all that you've done, I will thank you.
For all that you're going to do.
For all that you promised
and all that you are is all that has carried me. Jesus, I thank you,
and I thank you, thank you,
and I thank you,
and I thank you, thank you,
and I thank you, thank you, thank you for loving and setting me free. Thank you for giving just for me, oh, I thank you. Jesus, I thank you. Gratefully thank you.
Thank you. And I thank you. Thank you.
Let them flow.
the offering that we just gave, if we took a poll, we'd probably find out that most of you made that offering by a check. And if I gave you a deposit ticket from my checking account, and you took some of your cash or money, and you went up to my bank and gave them that deposit ticket and your money, they'd take it and they'd put it into my account. And I'd be real glad about that. If you went to my bank and filled out a withdrawal stub and had my account number, hopefully they would not let you withdraw from my account. And if they did, you wouldn't get much anyway. But you can't make a withdrawal from my account because your name's not on the account. You know, there are a lot of people over the course of our lives who make deposits into our lives. And the door is wide open for any of you to make a deposit. It can be sometimes a big deposit and sometimes a small deposit. But we all make deposits into each other's lives. And the account that God has opened that has his atoning blood in it, even without our signature, he put his signature on that account so that we can make a withdrawal from that account. He has allowed us access to his account. And so that we then have an interest in his account because he has an interest in us. And we can draw on that account. And there have been people over the years who have made deposits into our account. And we give thanks this morning because of the blood of Christ, because of his amazing love, that we can have access to his throne.
Would die for me. Woke up yesterday morning to a farewell message from our teenagers here at church. It was without question one of the greatest TP jobs I'd ever seen in all my life. I don't know who all the contributors were, but I know some of them. Nick, do you want to introduce the rest of your group? Because I know you were in it. Chandy, you want to introduce any? And I spent yesterday morning getting most of up on a ladder with a fishing pole, trying to get it out of that deal, and still, half of it still up in the tree. 1:30 this morning, my doorbell rang. Ding, 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 ding. Out of a dead sleep, I come. Run to the front door, and there it is again. I have enough Charmin for this entire church. If you need to borrow some, you come to my house. I laid down after, after you come out of a dead sleep and the doorbell's ringing, you know, it takes a little while to calm down. And so about 30 minutes later, I just calmed down. I was just about asleep and some clown did it again. Ding, 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 ding. And it's really not good when you got a baby asleep right next to the doorbell. It's not a good thing, but what a farewell. If you have your Bibles, will you open, please? Philippians 1. Philippians chapter 1. Let's read together beginning at verse 3. Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, since I hold you in my heart. For whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. And God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. It just seemed to me that the only appropriate passage to say goodbye from was Philippians 1. Paul shared a special relationship with the church at Philippi. I don't know why they were so close, but they were. I don't know if it had been because they had been through so much together, but he'd been through a lot with other churches, but there was a depth of relationship and a depth of love and a mutual respect and admiration that went to the core of his being about this church in Philippi. And as he writes to them, to say thank you for their latest gift, which had been brought to him in prison in Rome by a man named Epaphroditus who'd made that hazardous journey from Philippi all the way to Rome. He'd brought a gift to Paul to support him in his time of imprisonment. Paul sits down, and out of that depth of relationship, he writes to the church at Philippi. And in reading the words, in expressing the things he felt about that church, I feel about you. And so it just seemed appropriate that Philippians 1 would be the farewell parting words. Paul says, first of all, the RSV puts it this way, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Paul could go back in his mind's eye and think about the memories that they had made together. He would reminisce, I would imagine, like a parent looking through a photo album and rejoicing and enjoying the childhood that they had witnessed as that child was growing up. Recently, Marcia and I were, well, mainly Marcia was going through, you know, a big drawer full of photographs. And as she went through some of those photographs, you know, I'd look at some of them and you couldn't help but smile, you know, as you thought about that time in that child's life. And so it is with Paul as he thinks about the church at Philippi. And folks, so it is with me and you. 22 plus years, we've made a lot of memories together. From a little building on Britton Road and the village police having to come every service on Sunday morning and Wednesday night to direct traffic so we could get in and out of our building without running over someone. From the small beginning over there through the building process of this building, and when they started construction here, I came out here every single day that I was in town. I came out here to see the progress that they'd made on this building. Literally, I watched this building be built a board at a time. And then when we moved in, I remember our celebration that we felt moving in this new building. Bill Bonosky came to dedicate our building. He was the president of Oklahoma University at the time. And he came late. It was raining on a Sunday afternoon in November. But he came in, sat in on the front row right here by me, and he said, "Do you have a copy of the program?" And I handed it to him. And he wrote his sermon while we were singing on the front row. He writes his sermon in the margin of that program and then got up and preached and did a fantastic job. But I remember that. And I remember Celebration Sunday when we packed this place out upstairs and down. We had Landon Saunders and Marvin Phillips and Big Don Williams and Jerry Jones and Ron Rose all came in, and we packed the place. I remember friend days and dinner on the grounds. I remember Christmas talent shows and watching all of the fun that took place on those occasions. I remember church fellowships. I remember all of the times that we have shared together and laughed together. And yes, we've made memories that are sometimes painful together. As this church family has experienced some trauma in our 22 years together. We have cried together and we have laughed together, but mostly we've laughed. And as Paul found it easy to look back on those memories and smile and give God thanks for the joy he felt inside, so I feel that way about you. Paul said, "The reason I'm thankful is because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." The first day, that takes Paul back to Acts 16, when he and Silas went to a place of prayer by a river, and he encountered some women there and shared the gospel message with them. And one of those women, named Lydia, gave her life to Jesus that day and was immersed into Christ. And she comes up out of the water of baptism almost instantaneously. She says, "If you find me to be a true believer, then come and stay at my house." She couldn't articulate her faith yet. She wasn't a mature disciple, but a baby in Christ. But there was one thing she could do, and that was enter in partnership with these missionaries who were in Philippi. She said, "You come and stay in my house. I will support you while you're in my house, so you can use my house as a basis of operation for sharing the message around Philippi." And from that day until now, 10 years later, as Paul sits in prison, he thinks about their partnership in the gospel. Folks, for over 22 years, you and I have shared partnership in the gospel. There is no more important work on the face of planet Earth than the eternal business of the kingdom of God. And you and I have shared in that. And the things you've taught me and the things that you have shared with me, I take with me to Midland, Texas. And we will still share partnership in the gospel, even though we'll be 450 miles away from you. This word translated partnership is the word we've talked about so many times. It's the word koinonia. It means a sharing something with someone, as the church at Philippi had brought money to Paul and shared with him some of their monetary means. And it means also to share in something with someone. That whenever you enter into someone's pain or someone's joy or someone's life experience, you are sharing with them koinonia, fellowship, partnership. That's what we shared together. While I've been the preacher at this church, I have lost 3 of my 4 grandparents and both of my parents. And you shared in that with me. And I've shared in it with you when some of you have lost your children or lost your mate or lost your parents. We have shared partnership in the gospel. And wherever we go, we will continue to share that partnership, that fellowship, and there is nothing that distance can take away from us because we share that partnership together. The one I really want you to focus on for a minute is what he says in verse 6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Here is Paul's confidence. He says, I am confident God is going to finish what he started in you. Even though he couldn't be at Philippi with the brethren there, he says, there's one thing I know about my relationship with God. God is a finisher. God completes what he starts. And I am confident that even though I can't be with you in Philippi, I know God is going to bring to completion what he started in you. And church, so it is with us. God has begun a great work here. And I am confident that he will bring it to completion. I am confident that the best days for this church family are still yet in the future. I am confident that no matter how much I love this church, God loves this church infinitely more than I am capable of loving it. God does not leave his church unprotected or uncared for. And yes, this is a traumatic time for all of us. Yes, there are a lot of questions. Who's going to be the interim preacher? Who's going to be the next preacher? Will I get along with him? Will he get along with me? Will he be the kind of man that I can relate to and teach it? I know there are a lot of questions, but listen to me. This is God's church, and God will care for his church. And in a year from now, as you look back on this time that has been unsettling and full of questions, you will shake your head in the affirmative and say, you know what? God is a finisher. God is bringing to completion what he has started in us, and my confidence is in him, not in a man. Finally, he says, I haven't been able to get through this all week, this part. He says, I feel this way about you, and it's right I feel this way about you because I have you in my heart. Sometimes we say, you know, he gets on my nerves, or I've got you on my mind, I'm thinking about you. But when Paul talked about the church at Philippi, he said, I hold you in my heart. And distance couldn't take that away. Distance could not take away the fact that Paul had taken the church at Philippi with him to Rome, and the church at Philippi resided in his heart. There is no way that Marcia and I can adequately say to you, thank you for what you've meant to our lives. Many will be the days when we will think about you and yearn for you with the affection of Christ. The hardest time for me is going to be on Sunday mornings when the communion is passed. I'm going to think about you every Sunday. And every time that plate starts down the aisle and we share the bread together, I know the tears are going to fill my eyes and run down my face, and they're going to wonder in Midland, Texas, who is this guy and what's the matter with him? But I'm going to be thinking about you. And Marcia and I are going to be yearning for you with the affection of Christ. And there is nothing in the world that can take the fact from us that you go with us to Midland, because we're taking you with us in our hearts. And you will always be a part of our hearts. Always. I just want to say one parting thing before I sit down. Whatever happens in your life, whatever happens, good or bad, stay true to Jesus Christ. You honor him, he will honor you. And also remember this. Marcia and I love you more than we could ever verbally express to you. And you'll always be a part of our lives. May God bless us as we together serve him with all of our hearts.
Tears are appropriate. I'm not sure why I agreed to make this transition. Decided that, given the nature of what Ronnie was going to say, that it might be nice to have a response. And so now three people are going to respond and kind of give talk for just a few minutes each. Tom Howell, first, and then Todd Mead, our youth minister, on behalf of the staff, and then Darvin Keck, on behalf of the elders. Tom.
It is written, rejoice, shout, and be glad, you flatlanders of Midland. For good fortune comes your way. Do not weep, you people of Quail Springs, for you have indeed been blessed for half a generation. Yes, blessed. By the presence, the teaching, and the way Ronnie White has touched our lives. In this congregation, there are people who've only known one preacher. And there are many who have known many preachers who have all chosen to be here. Everyone here could say, have I ever told you about the time Ronnie White and I? And it would bring laughter to us and tears to our eyes. Everyone can name your favorite song, and they can name their favorite sermon, for we have all been touched by you. We're not only touched by the words, but also by your actions, actions that teach. You taught us to care for one another as you care for us, to be there as you were at the hospital for births, for operations, and for passings. You taught us about being a loving husband and a nurturing father. You taught us to laugh, to sing from the pulpit, and to praise God in our worship. You taught that we should step out of the boat, get up out of the deck chair, and come out of the tent and use our gifts for his kingdom. You taught us to be generous with our possessions because we're only temporary keepers of such things. You taught the importance of regular Bible study. You taught us of the many names of God. And you taught us about being faithful. Being faithful to all the things that you taught us. And most importantly, to be faithful to God. You demonstrate that command now to us, for when God called, you answered. And using this example, we say, we too shall be faithful. So on behalf of the congregation, it is my privilege to simply say, thank you for your touch and for the value that you have added to our lives. Godspeed, Ronnie White.
The
those of us who have worked with Ronnie on the staff here at Quail have been able to see a side of him that most of you have not. Even if you know him personally, I've had occasion to interact with him in a Bible class, on the golf course, or some other venue. You haven't experienced working with him day in and day out for months, for years. Perhaps your only experience with him has been this Sunday morning setting, with his polished sermons and confident presentation, his winsome, youthful, and handsome appearance. While genuine and consistent, you've not seen a part of him that we have been privileged to see as we have worked with him on this staff. We have seen a very humble man, a man who wonders at times, am I making a difference as I get up in this pulpit? I remember sitting down in Ronnie's office several years ago and just feeling a need to do this, going in and sitting down and closing the door and saying, because when I came here, he was a little bigger than life to me. And for whatever reason, I needed to share that with him. And needed to share with him that I had realized he was just one of us. And I'll never forget as he listened and said, Toddley, I put my pants on one leg at a time just like everybody else. So we have seen a humble side. We have seen a man of integrity and a man of character, a man who lives what he preaches. We have seen a holy anger and a righteous indignation toward abusive parents or unfaithful husbands or wives. We've heard this man of God passionately defend individuals and churches whose freedom in Christ have been attacked or undermined by pharisaical zealots. We've seen a man of strength. We've also seen a man of weakness. We've seen the slumped shoulders and the tired eyes early in the morning after staying up with many of you, ministering to you as you have gone through difficult times in your lives. We've seen a cautious wisdom and a reckless abandon, both appropriate in their time. Each of us on this staff will have our own special memories of Ronnie White, and we will cherish those in our hearts. He has been very kind to each of us. Each of us on the staff know of a vice that Ronnie has. I think we can share this publicly. He struggles with Diet Coke. And it was very typical that he would stick his head in my office door about 9:30 or 10 and say, I'm in, which meant he was on his way to 7-Eleven to get a Coke. So he would tell the secretaries, who he loved and respects, he would say, ladies, I'm in, so I'm out. And we knew that he would be down the road to get a Diet Coke and would be back. And so it is now that he is in and will be out, but will always be in our hearts. Ronnie, it's been a blessing to work with you. We anticipate that our counterparts on the staff at Golf Course Road Church of Christ will have similar experiences. And we wish for you and Marcia God's richest blessings and a fresh anointing of His Spirit that will empower you far into the next century as you preach the good news of Jesus Christ in that place. We love you. We cherish the time we've had with you. And you will always be in our hearts.
One, it taught us a lot of things. One he didn't need to teach us was how to cry. We've learned that because of the pain that we experienced at his leaving. I let my better judgment get the best of me again. I suggested that these two men who preceded me be the ones to make remarks, and knowing how I don't do so well, I should have been first. Ronnie providentially was brought to Quail Springs, to the village at that time, in August of 1975. I say providentially because a number of things had happened, even until the moment he got to us, that had him pointed in another direction. From the time that I shook his hand on that Sunday morning, we'd been friends and good friends. He had a kind of warmth and grace that reached out to everybody. And perhaps it was said best by a med student that he was instrumental in converting a few years later, who said, "The first time you talk to Ronnie, you feel like you've known him all your life." My remarks will be mostly regarding my family and me, and you will understand their importance only as you see this to be just a pinch off of a great big cake of influence that they have had in this congregation. January 4th, 1976, Jenny White was 4 years old. She was sharing that with people at church, and she encountered Vicki, my wife, who also had that birthday, and so that provided some occasions for cards and cakes and exchange of gifts. My daughter's babysat with Jenny and Jeffrey, but we still remain friends. I went golfing with Ronnie till I found out he could and he found out I couldn't, and then we walked down the first fairway. He was a gardener of note. He was very interested in those seed potatoes being planted that grew new potatoes, and because I had 2 degrees in horticulture, I was able to get him just that kind. He doesn't know till today that all potatoes grow new potatoes. Don't tell him. In 1976, in August, our preacher resigned and moved on to another work. Ronnie was on vacation, and we invited him back to preach. We had heard him preach on 3 occasions previously, and so he was our temporary preacher while we hunted for a regular, full-time somebody. And now, after 22 years, we're going to finally have to get on with it. I recruited with Ronnie as we went to visit with people who were who had visited in church or otherwise had some contact with us. My daughter, Vicki, was in the first singles class that began shortly after he came. Ronnie and I made mission trips. We went to Oscoda, Michigan. He preached and I talked. We went to Norfolk, Nebraska. We drove up there. And one of us drove too fast, and when the highway patrol pulled him over, I tried to help him. I said, "He doesn't drive nearly as fast as Marcia." Ron and Marcia hosted a home Bible study that began several years ago, and my daughter Sherry and her boyfriend, now my son-in-law, was involved in that. And because of the experiences that they shared there, he was placed on the road to obeying the gospel of Christ, which he did in the year after they moved to Manhattan, Kansas. I can talk to you about a lot of things, but I want to move quickly through preaching. You don't need me to tell you how good he preaches. I would hate to ask how many of you are here who were a part of this congregation before Ronnie came to preach. I'm afraid just me being me and Dick Gilchrist, and he can't stand up. Ronnie provided leadership for the congregation in so many ways. He selected, and we hired 18 or 19 preachers and probably 10 secretaries. I'm thankful that they're not at all disposed to stay as long in the same place as Ronnie does. Otherwise, we'd have 20 preachers and 10 secretaries around here right now, and we may need them, but we couldn't pay them. I think an area of service that Ronnie has rendered that some people are not so fully aware of is that of ministering to people who have great need, who are hurting. This has happened through all of his time here. It happened more recently to us when Vicki became ill with a dementia that is Alzheimer's-like, I guess. And as she slowly faded away, passing away from this life last December, Ron and Marcia were always there. We would gladly have asked him, insisted, that he be involved in a memorial service for her. But Ronnie, Vicki had already put in writing many years before that that was who she wanted. And so he was glad to oblige. 2 weeks before she died, she was in the hospital, and Ronnie came to visit us. And because her memory was so far gone, I felt compelled to tell her who Ronnie was and what he did. Well, she knew, because after visiting a while and a prayer, as Ronnie prepared to leave, Vicki said, "I love," and then a few words that were not understandable, but she concluded with two that were, "especially Ronnie." And I don't have any way of saying it any better than that. Our hearts go with you, and we wish you the very best. Dave Demuth, where are you? Oh, I want Ronnie and Marcia to come up here. That'd be fine. We want to present Marcia with this little flower. I was going to try that with my own plaque, and I'm afraid he would recognize the name and throw it away. This says, "Ronnie and Marcia White, in loving appreciation for 22 years of outstanding leadership and ministry for Christ and his people, Quail Springs Church of Christ, November 22nd, 1998. Oh. Well, we love you, we're going to miss you.
Let's all stand and do the best we can.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. And give you peace. The Lord make his face to shine upon you.
And be gracious.